Oh man, God is up to something this morning. I wasn't quite sure if I was supposed to bring this morning or not. And there was a portion of scripture that when I read it in my own words. I was reading it in his words and reading it in modern English as though it was written to us, you know. The other day when I did that, it was so powerful. So this morning, I'm thinking, I'm not really sure I'm supposed to bring this on a Sunday morning, but, you know, I'm just going to test the waters. So we got down here, and I opened up those scriptures and started reading them, and I was like, oh, my gosh, they hit me harder than they did the other day. You know, when we don't like wilderness training. We don't like those dry times. We don't like those hard times. We don't like those times of we're having to repent of something, make major choices. We don't like that. We like when we first get saved and everything is just learning how much God loves us and how wonderful. And then we get to find out what we're called to do. And we get these promises of where he's taking us and what's going to happen. And all of it's so exciting. And then comes the testing of our faith. And then we come through the hard stuff, you know, under attack and rejection and trials and dry times and nothing's happening. We don't like that, but it's a necessary wilderness training. We have to go through that. So I want to talk about that. And looking at the story of Moses delivering the people out of slavery, that's kind of a parallel to our story. We're God's rescue team. I mean, Christians, all Christians are intended to be his rescue team. All Christians don't do it, but they're called to it, to go out and to bring the lost to Christ, to bring them out of the darkness into the light. But it takes a preparation before we can do that. And you know, God likes the number 40. I don't know why. I'm not sure about that. But Moses had a lot of wilderness training. His first 40 years, he was growing up in Egypt in the midst of all the darkness. And he got full of pride. And that's what happens to us. We kick off life and we get filled with pride. From day one, we start out with all kinds of pride. It's our defense system is built on pride. We want to feel really good about ourselves. So there's the arrogant pride. Then there's the pride of hiding because we don't want to be seen. There's the pride of defending ourselves when anybody attacks us. There's all kinds of pride. And it's just a big infiltration of the devil. We went through some flashlight meetings here where we were willing to look at the light of God shining in us and revealing pride. Well, that was a little intense and we had to be vulnerable. We had to be open. Well, I see what's coming now is fire meetings. I mean, just this time where we're going to go beyond the flashlight into the fire of God and let it burn deep. And really get us set free. Because we're called to something beyond what Moses was called to. We're called to the darkest time in history that's coming upon this world. And therefore, we are going to go further than Moses went. Closer to the presence of God. And I'm going to get to that in a minute. But this story of Moses, he had 40 years that he lived in this darkness, letting all this pride build up. And he knew he was called. He was a man of God. He had been called and chosen. He was going to be the deliverer. And he rose up in pride and he murdered somebody because he went after the enemy in his flesh thinking he could take out the enemy. And what happened was he ended up getting kicked out, running away. And then he got another 40 years out in the wilderness, desert training, dry time. And that dry time caused a hunger. And he looks and he sees this fire burning up on that mountain of God. And Moses dared to turn aside, no matter what it cost him, no matter how long it took him, no matter if it killed him, no matter everybody else was saying, you can't do this. You can't go up that mountain. You'll die. There's nobody can go that close to God. Are we going to dare to go against what other religions may say? You can't go that close to God. You're crazy. Or are we going to dare to turn away from the mundane routine and dare to go up that mountain of God? But the mountain of God was a mountain of fire. They were constantly reminded, God is a holy fire. He is a holy, pure, good fire. And if you get close to him, you're going to get burnt. It's either going to burn away everything that's blocking you from coming closer, or it'll kill you. So they knew that, and the people that Moses led out there didn't want to go. So Moses, in his desperation, turned aside, and he dared to ascend that mountain. Now, on the mountain, he spent 40 days with God, in the very presence of God. Oh, man, I love that. Every time I think of it, I want 40 days in the presence of God. But you know, we're not confined, and we don't have to climb a literal mountain. He's with us. We can have all the time with him that we're desiring to have. But something happened when he went back into Egypt, and he began another section of his life, broken into 40s. He began to lead the people. We know the miracles and everything. And then he led the people. They thought they wanted to come out of Egypt. They were ready. They hated slavery. They didn't like being used and abused by the Egyptians. And they wanted freedom. So Moses sets them free. He brings them out. And he brings them to the mountain of God. And he says, come up the mountain. Come up and encounter God. And they said, no. We'll stay down here and serve God at a safe distance. All of them will stay back and serve God at a safe distance. Now, you know, they had miracles going on, like manna. They had nothing to eat, and God rains manna from heaven. And I've heard people say, oh, I wish I would have had manna raining from heaven. No, you don't. They didn't like the manna from heaven. At first they went, whoa, miracle, bread from heaven. And then after, I bet it wasn't even 2 weeks of eating that same bread day after day after day, they started to complain. I wish we had the food we had in Egypt. You brought us out here for this. I'd rather be in slavery so I could eat what I like. While you're in slavery to this world, we form some habits. We get addicted to some things. We get addicted to our entertainment. We get addicted to our games, to our television shows, to the food that we like. We get addicted to the fact there's a roof over our head when it rains. They didn't have that anymore. Even though they were slaves without freedom, they had houses. They had foods they liked. And they probably had games they played in those houses after they were done building, making bricks all day. And they were addicted to that. Now God brought them out and he said, I want you to just let go of that. I have something better. I have a promised land full of love and good things and better foods, but it takes some travel to get there. But they said, no, we will not go close to God, Moses. We're not willing to die. We will worship him at a distance. We'll stay back. Now, I want you to realize that the distance from that holy mountain to their promised land was an 11-day journey. And it took them 40 years to get there. 40 years to make an 11-day journey. And you know what they were doing during that 40 years? Because here's the promised land and here's the mountain of God. They didn't go like this. And they didn't go like this. They went like this. Around and around and around that mountain. You know why I think they kept going around that same mountain? Because God kept them close enough to see that fire. And to know the cost. And to know there was a path straight up to his heart. And to say, you can come anytime you want. You're this close, my people. You're this close. Just come up this mountain. But it is a mountain of fire. It will burn away whatever keeps you from coming closer. And he kept him in around and around while Moses taught him, while God did miracles, while he showed him his mercy. He gave him water that just poured out of a rock. He gave him all these proofs of his presence and his goodness and his love. And he kept saying, come on, somebody, somebody, come on, come up the mountain. But they didn't. So after that 40 years in the wilderness, he takes them to the promised land. And they are excited. I'm going to go into the promises God has for me. Finally, here we are. We're at the land. And he said, well, now 12 of you need to go in and spy it out. I believe God's been sending the 12 in to spy out our promised land. Prophets, they have gone forward into that promised land with God, and they've come back and they've started telling us things about it. And they said, oh man, the food God feeds us is enormous. It's awesome. It's wonderful. You've never seen anything like it. You've never tasted of the good things God has for you. If you walk into your destiny, if you find out who you are, if you will come closer to God, He's got a plan for your life. When you discover your identity and your purpose, just come. And they've gone and they said, but wait, there's giants in the land. There's giants in your promised land. Your promised land, your promises are within you, but there's giants you got to face. You got to face your giants. Because those giants are all the deceptions, they're all the blocks and the things that prevent you really coming into that unity with God. And you got to face your giants with fire. With fire. See, the holy mountain, if you choose to go up it, it's a path. Flame after flame after flame after flame. And it starts out, the flames aren't too bad. We can handle it. God's so gentle and kind. Starts out with a match. God's gentle. He begins to burn away something in your life that's not quite as deeply hidden, not quite as hard to face. And if you let that fire burn and you take the truths and you repent and you agree with God, and then you'll light another match when the time is right. And it begins to expose your giants, expose the lies, expose the deceptions, expose the things you love more than Him. And He burns them away. And then pretty soon, after you're traveling with your matches, if you'd like some, I'm carrying them around and lighting them to remind me. After a while, you can carry a torch. And that torch, you get to light right in that very big fire of God. Because you got to go walk into the bigger flames. Walk into the heart of that fire to where the flames turn blue. And they're so pure and holy. And you see more of Him. And He sees more of you. And you're purified. And you can tip your torch right in the heart of God and light it a fire. And then you can come back in the darkness and you can light a path for others to come up that mountain. But they wouldn't face their giants. And they got right at the edge of the promised land. We're at the edge of a coming move of God on this earth. We're at the edge of it, and Christians are going to see it. And some of them are going to be saying, I want in on that. But they haven't faced their giants. So Moses goes back in because the people, again, they wouldn't go up the mountain. And now they're at the promised land. And the 12 spies come back and tell them how wonderful it is. But there's giants. And then they tell them, well, don't worry about it. God's going to fight with us and we'll defeat those giants. But again, the people weren't prepared. And they said, no, we're scared. We won't face the giants. We won't fight. Not on what they expected to happen with that answer. But what did happen was God said, Moses, because Moses was listening, Moses, you better tell them it's too late now because they're not ready to face their giants. Because they didn't come up the mountain and get ready. And they didn't get ready during wilderness training. And I brought them here to show them how not ready they are. Now, if they try to fight the giants on their own now because they're not walking with me, they're going to fail. So Moses tells the people, well, you're not willing to go in the promised land and fight, so your option is God's sending you back to the wilderness. Back to the wilderness? Oh no, we spent 40 years out there eating manna and not having a house. I didn't even bring my playing cards. I had nothing to do. I don't want to go through the wilderness again. We're going to fight. Okay, we changed your mind. We're going to fight. Moses said, no. Don't do that, because you're going to lose. And they said, no, we're not. We're going to win. Now, there's the pride. No, we're not. We're going to win. He said, God is not with you. And they said, we're still going to win. So they went in and fought, and they were defeated. And they came back out with their tails tucked and said, okay. And they went back to the wilderness. Guess how long they spent in the wilderness? 40 more years. Now look at poor Moses. Moses now got 40 years in Egypt, 40 years waiting to go up that mountain, 40 years leading the people, and another 40 years back to the wilderness to lead them again. So anyway, they're going back out into this wilderness, and they die out there. Now, look how patient God is and how long he will spend on a life. Through our mistakes, through our quitting, through our giving up, through our sinning, through our choosing other things. But he says, if you love me, if you choose me, if you're coming, if your heart is after me, I'll take all the time it takes. I'll take all the time it takes if you keep coming after me. Because there's a lot of giants in our land. We spent a long time letting these giants into our life. They never went into the promised land. They never did. But you know what? When they're walking around that mountain, around that mountain, around that mountain, they never chose to go up it. They never chose to get that close to God. They never chose. And I'm telling you, we are at a point of choosing in our life. We are at a point of choosing. If we want to be a Christian who worships at a distance, doing what we want to do with our life and including God a little bit. I love you, Lord. Please bless what I'm doing. I love you, Lord. This is where I'm going. Please go with me. If you want to be a normal, average Christian, spend the rest of your life saying, I love you, Lord. Come along with my life. And then just go on to heaven. You can. God's not mad at you. You can do it. But there are Moses among you. There are Moses among you. There are some of you that are going to go up that mountain. You're going to go up that mountain. You're going to take your matches and you're going to begin to let the fire burn whatever he exposes in you. Instead of denying it, you're going to bring it to the fire. Bring it to the flame. Let God take you through it. And it's not easy. It's not. Because pride wants us comfortably hidden from God. He doesn't want us to get any closer. And he wants to lie to us that if we stay safe behind pride, we don't have to suffer. But the truth is you're missing everything that's wonderful in God's realm because that's what you're created for. That's where you find your joy. That's where you find your purpose and who you are and things that really set you free. That's where they're at. And pride doesn't want you to go there. What is it that God was really trying to expose in that wilderness training? He was trying to expose pride. He was trying to. The main lesson was that he wanted humility in his people. He wanted humility because God gives grace to the humble and he resists the proud. He resists the proud. 1 Peter 5:6 says, humble yourself therefore under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. You can live with that much humility, casting your cares upon God and having him care for you. And you can live your life at that point, make it to heaven, and everybody's happy. But it also says in Proverbs 15:33, the fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. If you want honor, if you want honor, a calling of honor to be a torchbearer, to be a rescuer, to carry the glory of God into this dark world, then you have to desire humility. You have to desire the humility. Now, I know this is what he wanted in that desert because in some chapter, in some book, chapter 8, which I didn't write the book down, I would bet it's Deuteronomy, though, because that's where I've been lately. Chapter 8, verse 2, and I bet it's Deuteronomy. And you shall remember all the way which the Lord your God led you these 40 years in the wilderness to humble you and to prove you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep his commandments or not. Can I make you a Moses? That's his question. Can God make you a Moses, a minister? Because it's not just some people. It's anybody who wants, anybody who desires to say, yes, humble me. Yes, prove me. This is what I want my life to be about. This is who I'm called to be. I give my whole life to you, God. I want to be tested. I want to be proven. I want you to know what's in my heart. Because you know what? Giants are hiding in my heart. Pride is hiding in my heart. And they're deceiving me. They're lying to me. And they are my enemy. And they are the enemies of God. I don't want them in there. I want truth to set me free. I want the purging fires of God. And all we have to do, instead of saying, no, I'm afraid to go that close, is say yes. Yes. God, I will turn aside my plans, my life. I will turn aside from normal Christianity, safe Christianity. I will turn aside from fear, intimidation, hopelessness, everything that attempts to keep me from putting my foot on that path of fire up your mountain. I'll accept the fires of repentance, of revelation, of exposure, of humility. I invite you, God, to burn away the pride from my life. I started reading Deuteronomy. You know, when scripture comes alive, then it's that's what God's saying to you. And he gave me this introduction and invitation to say, if that's your heart, if that's what you want, we're going to have some campfire meetings. Moses put his camp outside the normal camp, and he had his own fire. We're going to have some outside the camp campfire meetings, like we had flashlight meetings. But what I want you to do, this is your homework, go to Deuteronomy 5. I just couldn't go far enough, and I can't read the whole Bible to you this morning, nor the whole book of Deuteronomy. So starting at Deuteronomy 5, this is the second time. This is the time that he is going to lead these people, the second generation, because the others died. Now their children, another generation is invited to take what that generation refused. You know what? We're getting old in here, and I don't want to be the generation that missed it. I want my kids to get it. They can get it, but I want to stay here and be a part of it. So Moses has got them right at the promised land again. And this is where this began to come alive. And I want us to read a few of them the way God read them to me. And then I want you this week to read through Deuteronomy and reword it and let God speak it to you for today. Let's start it out with the way that it was written. And Moses called all Israel, he's calling all of us, and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that you may learn them and keep them and do them. The first time he spoke the commandments, they heard them. They didn't learn them, and they didn't keep them, and they didn't do them. So God is saying, burning bush, why do you think you've been named burning bush? Because I intended for you to come up that mountain to the burning bush. I intended it for you. Now, we've known that we were called to come up the mountain before, but now he's saying, this time, hear it different. Please hear the words I'm speaking in your ears this morning so that you can learn them, own them, keep them, and do them. As you begin to ascend up that mountain, when you step into the next flame, experience it. Make it real and personal. Learn from it. Now, you can step into one flame. I'm in this flame of not judging and criticizing. I'm still standing in that flame. You call it a matchstick. Well, that match had been burning for a week and a half. And when God said, as you judge another, you're guilty of the same, I used to say, no, I'm not. They're doing what I would not do, so I'm not guilty of it. But I found out why I'm not guilty of it, because I have a belief system against it. I've told myself that this is bad. Now, if it's bad for me, so I'm not doing it, then I get to judge you because you're doing what I've decided is bad. Well, God doesn't work like that. It might be wrong for me, and it's not wrong for you. We're each individual. He told me I couldn't keep smoking cigarettes. He's told other people they could. Charles Spurgeon, one of the greatest preachers that ever lived, smoked till the day he died. And I don't think God ever told him he couldn't. It was bad for me because it would have been disobedience. It was not bad for Charles. So we don't get to judge other people by our belief system. Smoking a cigarette's not adultery. It's not murder. It's not sin. Might kill you because it give you lung cancer, but it's not sin. So he said this to him, I want you to hear what I'm saying to you. Step into a fire, hear what I'm saying to you, own it, take it personal for you, now learn it. Learning takes practice. Learning takes walking in what he's doing, experiencing it, letting him reveal to you where you've been wrong in it. And now I've been on fire about criticizing and judging for over a week, and sometimes it really burns. It really hurts because I'm facing things in myself of why I judge certain people. We went to watch a movie the other night. I didn't like the actress. I don't know why I didn't like her. I just didn't like her. She irritated me. You know why she irritated me? After I took that to the fire that night, I said, why does this actress irritate me, God? Because I don't want to condemn her. I want to forgive her. I want you to bless her. Show me why I'm judging her. And he said, because it's one of your belief systems. She's doing things that I didn't let you do, or you didn't let you do. So I prayed through that, and I said, you know, okay, I accept that, and I take that judgment off her, forgive her, bless her. We go to watch it again, because it was a series. It's on the next week. And we watch it again, and I'm going, wow. He did change my heart. I like her fine, no problem. But I can't stand her son. Why can't I stand her son, God? You know, now what are you showing me about me? So it's not, I mean, fire hurts. But what it's doing is it's freeing you from wrong belief systems. It's freeing you from self-judgment. It's freeing you from all the religious rules you put in yourself or the condemnation you put in yourself for things you've done and never forgiven yourself. It's freeing you from the judgments others have put on you. It's setting you free. It's good fire. And it's setting you free from all the pride in what you think you can do when truly what you do is useless unless God is doing it through you because there's where the life is. It's setting you free. So we need to hear it. We need to learn it. We need to walk in it, do it, keep it until it purifies us in that area. The Lord, our God, made a covenant with us in Horeb. Do you see that? God made an agreement with them. He made a promise with them. But where did he do it? He did it at the mountain. Horeb is this mountain. Horeb is the holy mountain. You want an agreement with God, you got to come to God. You got to get in the presence of God. You got to stand, dare, and get right up there to his presence and find out what his plan is for you. Verse 3, the Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even with us, who are, all of us are here, alive today. These are the children that remained after the first desert people died because they wouldn't do it. Now these people are ready. They're ready. And they said, this isn't what God gave our fathers. This is what he's giving us. And you know what? We're standing at the very brink of something new God's going to do. And it's not what he gave Moses. And it's not what he gave Abraham. It's what he's giving us. There's a new thing. There's an in-time move of God coming to this earth. And it's not going to be like every other move. It's different. I don't even know what it's going to be like because we haven't seen it before. But we're going to see God do things he's never done. We're going to see him do some things he did do. We're going to see the dead raised. We're going to see the old made young. We're going to see the blind can see and the lame can walk. But we're going to see more than that. I don't know what it is, but I know it's in our promised land. If we're still alive to walk in. They said, we're here. It's not our Father's promise. It's ours. And we're alive. We're alive. We're not only alive physically, God. We are alive spiritually and ready to hear whatever you say, to face any giant that's in the land. Maybe they grew 10 foot taller than when our fathers came to the border. Maybe they did, because evil has increased, hasn't it? Maybe those giants today are bigger than they were in that day. But we are better equipped, too, if we go up that mountain and face the fire. Verse 4. The Lord talked with you face to face in the mount out of the midst of the fire. Moses is the one pinning this. The others did not go up the mountain. But Moses is still saying God spoke to you face to face, because Moses went up there and he got face to face and he came back with the message. It's been being preached. It's been being prophesied to you. You are hearing face to face words from God right now. Right now, this minute. You've heard what Moses got when he was face to face. He needs humility in us. That means pride has to be burned away. You're hearing this morning, you personally are invited to put your foot on that path of fire. Pick up your matches. Moses said, I stood between you and the Lord. I stood between the Lord and you at that time to show you the word of the Lord. For you were afraid by reason of the fire, and you went not up the mountain, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Moses said, I'm bringing you the word of the Lord because you were afraid to go there for yourself. You were afraid to get face to face with God. You were afraid of the fire. He said, you feared the fire. Don't fear the fire. Invite the fire. Now, this message isn't for everybody. When Moses said it, he called them, come on, come to the mountain of fire. And they said, no way. We'll worship from a distance. We're fine right here. We're comfortable. Others accept us. We all accept each other, right? We're all the same. We accept each other. Okay, let's just stay here. The majority rules, you know. The majority must be right. We're all the same. Moses is the weirdo. Moses is the guy that tells us strange things and acts different than us. No, we're staying in the comfort zone. There's a comfort zone. And I really believe most Christians are going to stay in it today. But is there a Moses? Is there a Moses in this room? Because remember there was one Moses? Remember there was one. But today Jesus lives inside of us. And there's going to be multitudes of Moses. It's not the call for one man. It's a call to everyone who has Christ inside of them. It's the call. Everyone won't answer the call. Everyone won't come. But there are some who will. It goes on, and I'm telling you, I went all the way through chapter 9, just slowing down and letting God personalize it to us today. And there's so much. Some of them you can skip over. Some of them don't matter. You don't have to read the Ten Commandments again. We know them. But there's some that are favorite. Verse 23 and 24. Let's go there for a minute. And it came to pass when you heard the voice out of the midst of the the mountain burned with fire. And we're in a dark time today where evil has increased and it's going to increase even more. But the fire still burns. And if you want to hear the voice of God, you must hear it out of the fire. You must hear it out of repentance. You must hear it out of the purification. Because the closer he is holiness, the closer you come, the more that holiness is going to refine you and burn away every blockade between you and God. So you want to get burnt? You want to step in the fire? And I really, there's just so much. And I say, God, I can't read the whole book of Deuteronomy here, you know? I can't. If I look at it, I can't quit reading it. And I can't read the whole thing. And I could go through at least chapter 9 doing that with almost every verse. I'm not going to. But that's what I read this morning when I got so hit during prayer. It was like feeling the heart of God, hearing the plea of God, until it just shakes you to the core that he's pleading. Come, come, say yes, come. Enter the fire. Start up the mountain. Pick up your matches. I'll start gently with you. Don't turn back. Don't turn back.